Bibles, if you would, tonight, and go to Matthew chapter 7.
I think they're going to turn me on here in a minute. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, and your Bibles, and we are having an afterglow tonight, right, Brother Jesse, for the teenagers? And so if you are a teenager or a parent, you're welcome to attend that. I think it's a donut. Is it a dough? What are you calling it?
Donut Fellowship.
Amen. So it's a donut fellowship, and so if you didn't bring anything, or if you're not a teenager, do not go over there. But I think they'd welcome you. Nobody's going to run you off. So you're welcome. We'd love to see you over there. If you got teenagers, if you didn't know about it, you're welcome. Matthew chapter 7 tonight, and I hope this goes along with some of the things we're doing. Don't know why I'm ringing. I think it's the speaker above my head, fellas. If you want to turn that one down, that'll keep me from ringing, because I probably will get louder than I am right now before it's over with. Amen. Thank you for that. So, amen. Matthew chapter 7. Pastor's been talking a lot, been in the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night, and I felt like this is where the Lord led my heart tonight. And I wanted to talk a little bit about, I think it's important, he's been talking a lot about discernment. And I think discernment is important for the Christian. It's very, very important. It's very important that we have, again, discerning is just another way of judging. It's making a judgment call of what is right and what is wrong. And I think you can understand when we talk about wisdom, there are three words. They're going to get it right. So there's three words that go inside of wisdom. We know knowledge. We could use the word discernment, prudence, understanding. If you want to go for the fourth word, when you put it all together, knowledge is just know-how, just knowing how to do something. When I was a boy, I just didn't know nothing. Amen? And my dad would show me something, and I'd have the knowledge to put it together. And wisdom would be if I could do it when he wasn't there. Amen? And so I had the understanding, and I knew what was going on about it. Discernment is, let me put it in this perspective before we dive into the scripture. When I was probably 13 years old, my dad was a mechanic, and we were just talking about Fords and Chevrolets before the service, and so I hope I won't make anybody right off the start about what your favorite thing is. But if you know anything about Chevrolets, one of the things is you can get a part at any five or dime store, as it was said earlier tonight from one of the fellows that is not a Chevrolet man. And it is true, you can pull about any Chevrolet starter off and put it on any other Chevrolet if you really wanted to. And that's a blessing to people that you don't want to go down to parts store and try to figure out what Ford starter fits on this one. Amen. And so whatever it is that you like, but I mean, we were working on a Ford, and the starter that he had gotten for it, they had gotten a part, and it was the wrong one the night before, and they got another starter, and my dad said, "I'm sure this is the right one." Now, I spent a long time underneath of that van trying to put that starter on, but it would not go because it was not the right one. And I spent a long time down there because my dad knew that this was the right one, but I wasn't old enough. I didn't have the discernment to be able to see immediately after I tried to fit it. And I tried to put, I got the bolts in there on a good 45-degree angle. And I was about to cinch them down, but it just wouldn't go. And I finally give up on it and went. And so again, but if I'd had a little bit more discernment and been a little bit farther down the road, had a little more understanding of what I was doing, I would realize that it didn't fit. And I think here in the scripture, Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus is speaking to a group of Jews. He's speaking, he's that Sermon on the Mount, kind of the back end of this thing as we begin the chapter, and he's speaking to them, and he's going to use the term judge not. Now the term here, when we talk about judge and judging and judgment, the idea a lot of times that we get to is more of a judge pronouncing judgment. When if we go to the book of Psalms in 119, and it talks about all his judgments, and it talks about his law and his word being of his judgments. And he uses the terminology, the righteous statutes and commandments of God are called his judgments in Psalms 119. So a lot of times in our own life, we don't think about, when it uses the term not to judge, we think about judging each other. And it really is simply this: God's law is a measuring stick for our lives. His word is a measuring stick of how someone should live and how God says this is the way it is. Now, I don't know about you, but if one of the things that You know, if we didn't have a tape measure, we've been working all week around the ministry, and a tape measure is important. A lot of these guys that come to the college do not know how to read one. They'll say it's 12 and three little marks. And so we got to teach them how to read. As a pastor would say, we have to teach them science. And so, amen. And for those of you that can speak two languages, you can read centimeter tape, and you could do it in different countries, all right? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you will experience that if you go overseas and try to use a tape measure. Anyway. But here we like to use that inch, quarter, you know, different size, half inch marks. And every time if I'm the one that's measuring, I can say it's 10 and a half inches. And a man outside the building can measure 10 and a half inches. And if he cuts 10 and a half inches, then when it comes inside, it will fit the place that I needed because we were on the same page. We used the same measuring stick. And so here in the Bible, when God begins this, Jesus is speaking to a group of people, and he's speaking about judging. A lot of times we think that people are getting judgy, or they're judging me, okay? But again, when I measure the top, we were in one of the church houses, and they added on. So the top of the closet was one measurement, and the bottom of the closet was not the same measurement. We call that not being square. It was out of square. But, we weren't going to tear the house down and rebuild it because it wasn't. We just had to cut it that way. Amen? And so a lot of times in our own lives, when we start to measure ourselves up by the Word of God, we'll find that we're not square. That we don't line up exactly. Somehow we're out of tilt or we're out of square with the Word of God, and we don't like it when people tell us that. We don't like it when they take the Word of God and preach against our pet peeve sin. We don't like it when people, somebody else in the church, mentions something. And a lot of times I agree with you. It's one thing, and the Scripture deals with it right out of the gate. Jesus deals with it by saying, listen, before you jump, right off, it starts to say, you know, maybe you should take getting your own self square before you go preaching to everybody else about being out of square. Because if you took a good measurement on your own life, you're not even in square like the person that you're trying to get after. And a lot of times this is true. Look at the Scripture with me tonight. In chapter 7, in verse number 1, he says, judge not that ye be not judged. And again, this idea is a lot of people will preach that God's saying that we shouldn't judge people, and that is not it at all. If you read this chapter in its context and get to the end, he's going to say, you know how you measure people up? Check out their fruit, because a good tree produces good fruit and a corrupt tree produces corrupt fruit. And he's not saying that we don't judge people. He's just starting off by saying, he's starting the chapter off by going, be careful who you're going to judge and how you're going to judge, because you're going to be measured by the same stick, friend. And let me tell you, do you realize when we get to heaven, I'm not going to be judged for my sin? Amen? Because it's under the blood. If I'm saved and I made it to heaven, then the blood-bought person that I am, that you are if you're saved, I will not stand before Jesus and answer for my sin, but I will, look, there'll be some measurement of my fruit, of what I produced in this life and the opportunities that were afforded me as a Christian. Again, the Bible uses stories about talents and how God meted out some talents, and we ought to use our talents. And then in the Bible, it was talking about money, that we ought to have an exchange. We ought to be using that for Him. So here in the Scripture, He's going to take off and He's going to tell us this: for what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Can I just say, as a preacher of the Word of God, that ought to scare men, that ought to scare you to death. Because when you get up, I'm here to tell you, if you're going to get up and preach on something, guess what's going to be measured with? Guess what your life ought to, guess what everybody sitting in the place is going to be saying and thinking? Amen? They're going to be measuring up. They're going to be looking for the, as he's going to use in the next term, they're going to be looking for the mote in your own eye. So preachers of the Word of God and people and young men that desire to be, listen, you know, one of the most important things that you can do, and the most important person you can preach at is you in the mirror with the Word of God, the mirror of the Word of God, taking a good look and making sure that you line up with it. And again, when God gives you or affords you opportunity, again, you don't get to verse number 5. Look at it with me. Thou hypocrite, I've heard people say that before. I've heard one of my teenagers say that to me. Amen. And he happens to be in the building tonight. We won't go through that story. But again, you know that people, sometimes they don't like your judgment. You make a call with discernment in righteousness. If we had time tonight, we could go back to Leviticus 19 and preach right out of that chapter exactly what the Lord Jesus is talking about here and how he, and again, all this is going to build to when it finally says, love your neighbor as yourself. And we don't think about that when we think about judgment and throwing down judgment and doing things like that, but that's where this is all coming from. This is where he's preaching Old Testament scripture to this group of people, and he's telling them, hey, and you know, you better watch out what you're going to do. And he says to them, let's read verse 3 and 4. He says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So he's giving all these things. Now, I wanted to kind of give you some ideas. Why is it here tonight? Why is it important? Our judgment affects everything in our lives. Our discernment, our decisions that are made in our lives. The 1828 dictionary uses this definition as in scripture, the spirit of wisdom and prudence enables a person to, look at, listen now, discern right and wrong and good and evil. That is judgment. That's making a great judgment call. Simple, to the point, not hard. I mean, it's not over our heads. It's on the bottom shelf. Every one of us can get it. And here in the scripture, so many times, so many Christians makes this area of scripture over about somebody judging what I'm doing and not. And again, Jesus applies it to that. So many times in our lives, we are ready, and so many times we're ready to make calls, judgment calls on other people when we don't want to take a hard look in the mirror at our own lives. We don't want to take a hard look at what we're doing or what's going on with us or what we need to fix. We'd rather spend the day in here or with the Lord trying to fix the beam. We're looking for motes. We're looking for other people, and we're looking for what's going on in their wrong. And I'm just going to say this, is that, you know, God is a good God. He loves us. I mean, he loves us, but we live in a lost and dying world that is not, listen, they are not drawn to a pack of critical people that are critical of their friends and their neighbors who are saved and on their way to heaven. Do you know, I've been a part of ministries and I've been a part of places, and I thank God for the spirit that's at Landmark, but there are too many people that spend most of their time and most of their day telling everybody that don't go to church here what's wrong here and with all the people that sit around them. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Parsons. That's truth. You're judging it right on the mark. But can I say, I'm just here to tell you, listen, that ought not be the way it is. You know, if every one of us took a hard look at who we were, do you know the judgment affects everything in our lives? A judgment affects our giving. Amen. Our judgment, discernment, the way we judge affects our giving. It affects our getting. And it affects more than that. It affects our growing. It affects our growing in the Lord. I want you to see it in the scripture tonight. That's not where I plan on preaching, but I need to lay the foundation of where Jesus was in context. But after he comes out of all this, he goes, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Why is it that it's good for you to work on you and not worry about everybody else's problems and tell the world everybody's problems around you? Because it's not good for you to take that which is holy and spread it out in front of all your lost friends. Because when you get on fire and you try to witness to them, they're going to tell you, why would I want to go to that church with so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so? You already told me how much of a hypocrite they were. Why would I want to go to church with them? Why would I want to show up around their house? Why would I want to be around those kind of people? Say, Brother Parsons, that's not how it is. I'm here to tell you, friend. I've heard it. I've been there. I could even say, as a young Christian, I was one. Amen. That had done that in the past. And so why do we got to watch out that? Because God wants to give us some things. God has some things for us, and it's going to affect. Why would I give out things to the world that the world doesn't understand? The world is going to hold, that, can I just tell you, the world will hold a measuring stick a lot higher than they hold for themselves. They know what the measuring stick is. They just don't want to live by it. And they'll sure hold the Christian right to the letter of the law and make sure you know that you're a hypocrite, but that's why they don't want to be one. They don't want to be a Christian because then there is a measuring stick that they got to go by. Amen and amen. He goes on and he said, listen, if it's going to affect my giving, I got to do some things. In verse 6, he says, give not that which is holy. I don't want to give away the things that God has put in my heart. I want to be able to come to church. When we talk about assembling ourselves together, the reason we come together is not to talk about each other, but to come together in fellowship as God's people, realizing that this is a retreat, just like we would go home to our family and retreat from the world and feel like we are safe and home, and we got people that love us, and man, this is what the world ought to be. That's what church ought to be for everybody. We ought to be able to come in the back door of God's house and feel like we're at home, and that we're safe, and we're together, and that this is the place God wants us to be. And man, we can talk about all the holy things that God wrote in His Word. We can talk about all the things that nobody wants to hear us talk about all day long if we're out in the world, but we can come to church and speak about the things that God has for us. We can talk about how this thing's going to end one day. It ain't always going to be like this. One day, there's going to be a trumpet, and Jesus is going to bust through the sky, and I'm going to go up to meet Him in the air. And listen, you can't talk like that all the time at work because people don't understand. They don't have that wisdom and knowledge. What a blessing it is to be able to be around God's people and to know that we're on our way to heaven, to know that we got some things that this old world don't have. Verse 7, he says, and ask, and it shall be given you. Sometimes we don't couple that with judge not. We don't couple that with the early part of the chapter. We don't put all that, but boy, it's got a lot to do with our getting. Do you know when I'm so worried about everybody else, I'm so worried, you know, about somebody else, and I'm not looking at me. Boy, I need to ask. You know, Pastor talked about this the other day. In James, it talks about if I ask wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, he can ask God, and God will give it to him. Here it says in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You know, I'm so afraid that sometimes we're not worried with getting for us anymore. We're not worried about growing anymore. I don't know about you, but as an early Christian, brand new Christian, I wanted to grow. I wanted to see God be real to me as a young Christian. I wanted to ask and see God do things in my life. I wanted to see Him change things, and I wanted to be able to step out on faith and trust Him to do the things that He did for others in the Word of God. I wanted to see those things for myself, and so many times as Christians today, we're too busy looking at everybody else and worried about what everybody else is getting and worried about what everybody else is doing rather than just going to the one that can take care of it all. And not putting my focus on anybody else, but focusing in on Him and saying, God, You're a good God. Is there anything too hard for You that was already sung tonight? Hey, God, I just want to build something for You. Hey, God, I just want to be something for You. God, it don't matter what You got to do. Pull whatever You got to do out of me. I want my vision of You to be clear, and I want You to be high and lifted up, and I want to trust in You for everything. Hey, we lost that as a nation. We've lost that sometimes as a people because we're too busy looking at each other and what we ain't got. And when every one of us took a good look at each other, at ourselves in the mirror, we'd realize we don't measure up. And we could focus on that and say, God, we could be going to God and getting things and filling those things up in our lives rather than going to God and going, God, like tonight, even the beginning of the message, can I just say this without a doubt? In here somewhere, this whole judge not where I opened up, this was probably not going where you thought I was going tonight. Amen. Some of you already thought, I wish so-and-so was here. He needs this. He's judging people already. You know, I mean, again, you're probably thinking about somebody else that should have been here to get what you're getting because they need it. Amen. Can I just say, if you were thinking that, you probably need it. Amen. Hey, I'm just here to tell you tonight. I want my going and my giving and my getting to be affected by my judgment that God is good, that He's still on the throne, that He's still able to change who I am into more like what He is and who He wants me to be. And sometimes we just, as an adult, I've reached that age. You know, I think I'm at the place where I can now say I'm middle-aged. I've fought against that. I thought maybe one day or one more year I'll be middle-aged, but now I think I'll go ahead and accept that I'm somewhere in the middle of the road, all right? Now, it's this time in my life that I'm supposed to jump off the fashion train and never ride it again. All right, for the rest of you that keep on that fashion train and try to look cutting edge like the people of today, you know that's not right. Somewhere in middle age, you're supposed to get off and just stay there and just ride, you know, ride, just whatever it was, you know. You know, they're like, yes, that person was middle aged in the 90s. That person was middle aged in the 70s. That's the way it's supposed to be, folks. You know that, right? And so, you know, we're not supposed to be wearing cutting edge clothes like the young kids are. Anyway, I'll get off that. I'm judging. Anyway, so But you know, we're supposed to be somewhere in that middle age range, and we're supposed to be, you know, forming that. But I think as a Christian, there ought to never be a time that I get off that train, that I ever stop growing for the Lord. I want to continue to look more and more like Jesus. Sometimes in the Christian life, we've grown all we feel like, or we feel like we've arrived. And the Apostle Paul wrote, he wrote that. I mean, he penned that down. If anybody could say that they have arrived, if anybody could write that they were the Pharisee of the Pharisees, that they were, I mean, they had it all. I was in the school. He was of the tribe of Benjamin and wrote all those things, but he said, but I still follow after that I might attain. See, it doesn't matter our age. We ought to be constantly searching out and following the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. It ought to be a time in our lives where no matter, listen, and even that, I don't know where you got saved and where you got on, but I can say this, I'm not sure that I'm middle-aged in the Christian life yet. As far as my age, I mean, I don't know when you got saved. Maybe you got saved at 5, but some of you got saved at 15 or 20 or wherever you got saved at. I mean, it's still a constant growth. We don't ever get to a place where we ought to just say, all right, I'm done growing. I'm getting off right here. I'm going to be this Christian all the way till I go home to glory. No, friend. We ought to get on and keep growing and keep trying to go and keep trying to be better every day. Keep trying to get more of God's word and realizing that the measuring stick, boy, there's more of the measuring stick and I can grow and I can be better for Him. You say, Brother Parsons, really, I mean, this is simple stuff, boy, but we need to hear it. I mean, we need to hear it all the time. We need to be reminded that he goes through this idea here and he talks about our giving. He continues on our giving. He talked about our getting. He talked about giving, not giving the holy things out. But he starts this idea about, well, when we judge, shouldn't we judge our giving, how we give out to other people? He says, for everyone that asketh, receive it. He said that, right? Because we're asking of God and God's given. Or what manner, verse 9, is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts. You like that? How Jesus said, if then, you being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? He's just making a simple analogy, but it's good for us to understand that even the Lord Jesus looks at them and says, compared to God, we're going to still mark ourselves down as evil. Compared to a holy, righteous, sinless God, we still need to mark ourselves down, even when we've come, even when we've gotten to the place where maybe the preacher would say, I appreciate you. You've got good discernment. I'm going to trust you with some things. Even then, compared to a holy God, I still got a lot to learn. I still got some things I ought to add to my life. There's still more discernment for me to grow in. There's still things God wants to teach me if I'd simply continue, just like when I was a young Christian, and I knew I didn't know everything, and I knew I needed God. And I went to him and said, God, teach me what you want me to know. Help me to grow past this stage of my life. Help me to be better than I was yesterday. Help me to consume the things that you want me to consume and to abstain from the things you want me to abstain from. Well, those are the things that we need to ask him from. And even that, what a blessing it is. And this is not in this passage of scripture, and we are not going to jump ship for time. Can you just understand that sometimes you and I ask for the wrong thing, but we have the wonderful blessing of being indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And if our heart is pure and he knows that we really want to grow, he'll ask for the thing we really need anyway. He'll say he don't know what he wants. When he talks to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will connect and say, he don't know what he really needs, but would you send it to him anyway? Brother Tony Hudson preaches a message where he talks about, he said, I don't even know who to pray for, Lord, but you know, he said, and I just went, because my heart was burdened to have what I didn't have, and I didn't even know what I didn't have, but I knew God knew. I knew God knew what he could fulfill. He knew what I needed. I knew there was something missing, but that's all I knew. Can we get back to the place where we just trust God enough? Can we get to the place where we, instead of judging everybody else, we just focus in the mirror and realize there's something missing in my Christian life and I can't put my finger on it. God, could you open your word to me this morning and show me again and just be powerful. Let my tears roll from my eyes and hit the pages and show me who you are and what you want from me today, because I'll do it. Now, I'm going to share something with you. Don't ask that from God if you're not willing to do it. Don't expect God to move heaven and earth to direct you right where he wants you to be. You know, there are people that come to you for counsel. You ever been, some of you are old enough, you've had people to come for you counsel. The worst thing in all the world, and if I'm like this, we just left this passage where God said, amen, God said in here, that if you being evil know how to give good gifts. I've had my preacher tell me, yeah, so-and-so called me. I told them what to do. They didn't do it. And I can imagine, over his 50 years here, can I just say, that's probably happened a couple times. Okay? And I know there's other people that knew what he was going to say, so they didn't ask him. Because they knew they weren't going to do it. But at least there's some people that went and try to find out. Maybe he'll say something different. But then they didn't do it. But you know, Brother Dr. Herring used to say, I was in class, and I'm sure Brother Chad has mentioned this. Brother Chad Stanley mentioned it before. But I'll just say it. Brother Dr. Herring was awesome preacher man of God. And he'd be down there. And he'd just sit back. And when the preaching was good, he taught us homiletics. And when it was good, he would just... He'd just kind of hop a little in his chair and he'd go, hey, amen, you know, and he'd say something along the way. And then when it wasn't good, he didn't say nothing. And when it was heresy, he just silent, dead silent. And I thought, are you going to stop this? You know, I'm sitting in the class going, you know, or the kid would get up and he'd go, can I borrow a Bible? Because I left mine at home. You don't think that stuff happens, folks, but that happens, okay, in Bible college. You know, they got a long way to grow sometimes. Some of them are better than that, but a few of them, you know. Mom was still washing them behind the ears before they got here. They got off the bus, okay? And so they got a long way to grow. But, some of them would be like that. I'd use a wrong term, or maybe I'd call a homosexual a queer or a homosexual. He'd go, it's a sodomite. And he'd correct me right there. And, I took him aside one day. I said, Brother Dr. Herring, I said, why? You know, these other morons. These other guys that don't even show up with their Bible, man, you never say anything to them. I'm not wasting my breath on them. They ain't going to listen. I've talked to them before. They don't listen to me. Why would I tell them? He goes, at least you want to listen and you'll take my advice. That's why I'm so hard on you. Do you know, as a parent, I've seen parents that way. You know, after a while, I watched my dad with my brother. I love my brother to death, but, you know, after a while, he got tired of talking. And my brother wanted to go in the military. He said, maybe they can do something with you here. I'll sign that paper. Amen. And again, so you say, Brother Parsons, is it really like that? I'm telling you, it's like that. You say, Brother Parsons, is it people like that? I'm just telling you, if you go to God for counsel, can you imagine? God is a holy, merciful, and gracious God. But I know how it is when somebody asks you, what do you think about this? And you tell them, and then they go to do the exact opposite of what you asked them, you told them to do. Amen. In discernment. And they'll come and ask you again, like it changed. Amen. It ain't the book's the same. The discernment's the same. The measuring stick's always going to be the same. And you say, Brother Parsons, is that true? I'm just telling you tonight, listen, In your counsel, your discernment, a lot of times people just need to see you stick it out. Because sometimes they'll look you right in the eye, and you may know from the Word of God or your own experiences that that's absolutely right. But they don't know. They don't take it. If you can't give them chapter and verse, I'm trying to be careful. Amen. Don't want to give too many personal experiences. Just say this tonight. I want to be there. My preacher's been here 50 years. I'd like to be here long enough that people can come back and see that I'm still doing it, still sticking it out, still the same old, still the same measuring stick, and still meeting out the same discerning advice that they got last time. Do you know what people need to see, parents, your children need to see in your home? The same exact advice, sticking it out, staying with the same measuring stick, not changing, staying in the same church, doing the same thing, the same old way that you always have. They need to see consistency, because when we bend to the pressures of the world and change the measuring stick, it hurts them. People that you give advice to and they say, well, that didn't mean much. That couldn't have been Bible because you changed on it. That couldn't have been founded in the Word of God because you changed on it. Listen, I'm just telling you tonight, we ought to stick it out. If I'm going to grow, I've got to stick in the Word of God, and I got to keep the same measuring stick. But if others are going to see what I'm doing and grow and see Jesus in me, if He's my measuring stick, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people ought to see, I mean, if I'm growing more like Him, I ought to be going towards Him. It ought not to be me going the other way. People can see that in your life when you grow and you're getting more like Him. But when you go the other way, they can see that too, can't they? He goes on, and I love how he kind of begins to finish this up. He says here, and he's just pressing, and he just says to them in verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. If you were to sum up so many things, and some of the hardest things to do, you say, well, Brother Parsons, what is the, I mean, if there was one discerning thing, when you're not sure how to deal with somebody, what should I do? When I'm not sure what the Word of God says, when I'm not sure how this would go, don't do the first thing you think of. Stop to yourself and go, what would I want them to do for me? You know that golden rule that we all talk about? I mean, we've been here before, folks. I've preached this before, okay? I just want you to understand we need to hear it every once in a while, because we live in a day and age where people are rioting, and sometimes we get angry. We just get upset about what's going on in the world. And so when we meet somebody on the street, rather than treat them the way that we would like to be treated, we might let some of that stuff that upset us on the news or something else, we might have a sharp answer for people. Somebody might be ready to be saved and might be asking you a question, and you can't witness to them because you're letting all the news, you're letting Fox News amp you up. And you answer from what you watched on the news or what you read on Facebook or something like that. I don't want to be that person. I want to stay in the way that, man, I mean, can you imagine Jesus? I mean, I know He was a strong man. And I know that He stood up and made a whip and drove people out of the temple. And I want to be a strong man. But I also want people to go, that person's a given person. That person would give you the shirt off his back. The best Christian I ever knew, and early in my Christian life, the first person that ever took me soul winning, the first person that ever spent time with me, was a man that I'm telling you right now, I've told the story before, but again, walked up out of he was in a Gideon's meeting, getting Bibles, old school, I mean, good man. Two boys were stealing gas out of his car back in the 70s. He said, boys, what are you doing? Amen. And they said, sir, we broke down. We ran out of gas down the street here, and we're so sorry. We shouldn't be doing this. He said, well, come on. Let's get you some gas. Put their gas can in the back of his car, screwed his cap back in, drove them to the gas station, bought them gas, drove them back to their car, put the gas in their car, and then stood there and told them about Jesus and how He had grace. Now, he didn't have to, but He came from heaven. When we didn't have any gas to get to heaven, we didn't have any gas to get on farther, He just took right where they were and preached Jesus to them. And listen, I'm here to tell you, I don't know that I'm that person all the time. Amen? I don't know that if somebody was stealing from me, I could put it in perspective and go, you know what? These boys need Jesus more than anything else. That's why they're stealing. If they were saved, they wouldn't be stealing like this. And then look for their soul. Hey, I want to be the kind of person that doesn't see the world rioting and want to go out and shoot them all down in the street. I'm looking at a group of people that are burning buildings down because they're on their way to hell and they don't know Jesus as their Savior. Because they don't, listen, I'm here to tell you. Can I tell you? People that are saved don't act like that. Hey, you say, well, oh, the world's gone all this way and they're homosexuals and acting like this and that. Saved people don't act that way. You know what they need more than anything else? They need Jesus. The world is lost and on its way to hell, and if we're not careful, we'll get so, listen, I believe in fellowship, and I believe we ought to judge rightly. He goes all the way through this thing. And you say, well, how can you tell? He even says in verse 15, beware of false prophets which come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You say, Brother Parsons, that don't happen. All right, watch out. Amen. Some will snap and bite you right in the building here tonight. All right. 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. You know somebody that's the best preacher, but I want to see their fruit. Who are they walking down the aisle? Fruits of the Spirit will help you get there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things. I mean, those are good things to show up, but those are the fruits of the Spirit that come out through the Christian. But the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Soul winner. Somebody telling somebody else about Jesus. You say, well, Brother Parsons, I can't do that like I used to. Well, man, what are you investing yourself in? You still go to McDonald's? Give them a track. You still pay bills? Put a track in every bill you got. Soul winners aren't just people that knock doors and go down the street. Soul winners are people that sow the seed. Because it doesn't return void. You don't know where it's going to end up. You don't know where it's going to land. But people that are soul winners sow the seed. Whatever, not just knocking doors. Amen? I mean, you know how it is. When we used to have campaigns at my home church, we got counted. We not only get points for winning somebody, we get points for doors knocked. We knocked all four doors on the car and went to the next one in the parking lot. Amen? You all think I'm joking. I'm not kidding you. I mean, we'd knock every door we could knock. Amen? It didn't matter if it was on a car or on a house. Knocked front door, back door. If it had side door, we'd get that one too. Amen? And count them all. Amen? Because we wanted points. We love the Lord. We wanted to see something done. All you just doing it for points. At least they were doing it. Amen. You say, Brother Parsons, come on now. I'm just telling you tonight. By their fruits you'll know them. There are people in a good church like this and in others that creep in unaware. And they're looking. You know, every church, the church, the Bible says that, I mean, the gates of hell can't stand against the church. You know, any church that's ever been torn down has never been torn down by the likes of the devil and his angels trying to get in and attack it from the outside. It's always been some wolf that got in on inside the sheepfold, got in the church and tore it apart from the inside. Listen, I'm just telling you tonight, we got to watch out, even on our midst, because there'll be people that are snapping and biting at each other. And look at their fruit. Not everybody. Some people just get upset. You ever seen somebody just got mad with somebody and we get in the flesh? That happens. You don't measure everybody, but if you can look at their fruits, I'm going to check up on their fruit, because if all they do is bite and they don't produce lambs, amen, then they're a wolf and it's time to get them out. I'm just going to tell you, you say, Brother Parsons, come on now. I'm just telling you, we live in a day and age. I do believe that this is a Philadelphian age church in a Laodicean church age. And if you don't think that people will hop across town from a Laodicean church and try to land here and make it, this is closer to them, they want to make it just like the one down the road. We're not the only ones trying to reproduce ourselves, folks. There are other people trying to reproduce themselves, and they want to get right in here and change what God has planted and blessed and has built over 50 years and try to change it into some worldly junk like everybody else has got. They've got an agenda just like God has given us a commission to win the world to Christ. You say, Brother Parsons, what is it? It all comes down to judgment, folks. The way I'm supposed to judge, I'm supposed to be on the lookout at me first in the mirror, trying to get me right. And then when I come into the fellowship of the believers, I'm supposed to be watching out, asking God to help me, help my church, help others, Just like we had a prayer list tonight, prayer and Bible study, so that we can pray for each other and we can study and grow as a church, as a group, to be more like Jesus. And all along the way, I'm not just helping while I'm judging, discerning right. I'm giving right. I'm getting right. And I'm growing up right in the Lord. But I want to be, I want more than anything for people to see my life and to go, that's what a Christian is. And they can mark that box off because of my fruit. You know that the only measuring stick in all the Bible, you know, I mean, we could go to the book of James and talk about your faith is seen by your works. Faith don't come by works. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the way people in the world see my faith is because it changes what I do. Can I say I haven't always been like this? Have you always been like you are? I used to work in the world, and I tried to get green money all the time so that I could get a house and I could get a car, and I had all these things. But as I grew up in the faith, I realized all that is going to burn up and waste away one day. And that the only thing that I can produce in this life that God can get the glory and that it will last through eternity is fruit, is souls for Him. Everything else is like a vapor, like that, and it'll be gone. Everything else. You say, Brother Parsons, that's boiling it down. That's discernment. You want to know what your life's going to amount to? You want to know one day when you get to heaven and you look Jesus eyeball to eyeball and you want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? This is the measuring stick. And the measuring stick is fruit. Say, Brother Parsons, what do you mean? I'm just telling you. You see that gauge right there? Right there is fruit. You didn't get to win them, but you sent the green dollar bills so that someone else, you bought tracts, you bought Bibles, you paid for someone else to be in your stead that was called to that foreign land. Sometimes when you give in the plate and you're faithful in your tithe and your offerings, there's yellow buses and you may not have the opportunity to get on them, but you bought the fuel that went down the road in them. Brother Weeby got some tires. They were egg-shaped tires and we were going down the road. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now we're going to go, and go right to the house and get them instead of, we'd have gone either way, but it's better when you can go, instead of, but. You say, Brother Parsons, yeah, that's what it goes to. And you're getting a part. You get to be a part of that. You say, Brother Parsons, what about the day school? Sometimes, you know, them teachers that are in that day school, sometimes you get to pay. And listen, this church, this day school would not be here if it wasn't for this church bleeding over and over and sacrificing to make sure that it still was in existence. And I thank God because I've got little people that are from my family that have benefited from this church. But you know what? Some of them little kids, the teacher on a, on a God-ordained day, for some reason, it all clicked in Bible class. Jesus died for me. And that little kid, and it wasn't church, and it wasn't Sunday, but someday during the week, the teacher that the church invested in and brought here that was a member of the local church got to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was fruit, not just to their account, but to your account as a church. Church, it's all about fruit. If we don't, and I know that we live in a crazy world, and if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes and our focus on riding. And if we're not careful, we'll be worried about masks. And we'll be worried about what's going to open. When is Disney going to open? Amen. If you have a job there, that's important to you. But if not, you know, it probably ain't that important. Amen. And if they want you to, you know, I'm just here to tell you. Amen. All those things are going to fleet away one day. But if we don't, I mean, as if the church, you know, talking about meeting together, we meet together. Why? What is the purpose of the church? For fellowship. So we can get encouraged and go back out and better complete the Great Commission and see fruit one to Christ so that that can happen. So the buses can keep happening. So that college that's up there can keep happening. So that we can keep training people that can go out and produce more fruit. If we don't get back, listen, I'm telling you, if we don't pastor preached on it and he preached, it ain't over yet. The pendulum is still swinging. Can I just encourage you tonight, church? There are still lost people all over planet Earth, and they are scattered all over Haines City, and they still need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ just as desperately as before there was respiratory disease invented on planet Earth. And they still need Jesus, and they still need us to be the witnesses that we were before. And we desperately, as God's people, do you know that it burns, it does something for me, even if they don't get saved, but especially when they do get saved, when I share the story of Jesus Christ with somebody that says, no, I don't know that. And I get to share, and I watch their eyes tear up. Or if they don't tear up, they just sit there and they just like, this is a brand new thing. Can I tell you, as a 5-year-old boy, I sat in my living room and I had no idea that my world was being changed, but a man came and sat in my living room and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with my dad, and he got saved, and my world changed overnight because my dad got saved. You know, people don't have to just get saved on Thursday night. They can get saved any night. They can get saved any old day, but we still got to be the witnesses that we ought to be, and the world desperately needs it. I don't have to tell you all that's going on in the world. I'm not saying that everybody that's rioting isn't saved, but I can tell you there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them that are out there, and I'm here to tell you, if I was going to run around and hold a sign, it would be Jesus Saves. If there was a riot, amen, it ought to be a riot of just how good Jesus is. The church ought to be out picketing this mess and saying, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. If there's one thing I know this, that a good tree can produce good fruit, but a corrupt tree will produce evil fruit. Let me ask you tonight, judge ye yourselves tonight. Not an invitation tonight, but if you were good, took a good look in the mirror of you, what have you been producing lately? Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings, God. I thank you for this book, and I thank you for our church. And I know it might seem hard tonight, even what was that came out of it, but God, I know this, that there's only one life, and it'll soon be passed. And only what's done for you is going to last in this old world. And God, I want to be a good tree producing good fruit for you. And I want our church, we've been known to be producing good fruit for forever. God, help us to get to the place where we've gotten back on track with our buses and our Sunday schools and so many things. God, we're running on all cylinders again. God, give us our young people back on our buses. Give us our people back to be back in church. Help us, God, our soul winning times. Help our people to be back out on their normal time and go out and win people to Christ, and help the church not to miss a beat with all these things that are going on. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for all that you do. Help us now, God, as we think and go back to our own places, the fellowships to follow, and the practices. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Choir practice.